All right, so I want to make sure I said that. And so hopefully everybody has an outline. It should say opening the doors for divine opportunity and blessing. And this is actually a sermon about blessing, but if I mean about prayer, but if I said prayer, nobody, everybody go to sleep. So I don't know about you, but the reason why I pray is it opens doors for divine opportunity and blessing. And a lot of people don't know much about that. If they knew how many doors God actually opens and learn how to walk in prayer, not only say something here or say something there, but walk in a spirit of prayer, and I would say follow-up, meaning that once I pray something in the scriptures, the tense of the verbs, when it says ask, seek, and knock, you know, they're actually, it would be more like this, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on asking would be the more literal translation. So that helps you understand that when we ask for things, we need to continue to persist. And there's various things as we're going to study here today about that, because persistent prayer and other little habits that we're going to see in this sermon open the doors for divine opportunity, things that we'd like to see in our life, but also for blessing, unusual blessing, right? And it turns out that prayer is just this highway we walk that causes amazing things to happen. It's just that a lot of us sort of get worn out about that or discouraged about that. I don't have a lot of teaching on that and understanding. But most importantly, they haven't read their Bibles very well. So if you read your Bible continually every year, you know, go through at least once a year or maybe not even that much, once every couple of years, you're going to find that there's several dominant themes. And one of the themes you're going to find is that God likes people to pray and he answers them. And often in the times of their greatest desperation. And in those times of desperation, that's when it's most important that you know how to pray, that you know how to pray not just once, but know how to interact with God. So when we talk about prayer in a broader sense, it's not just one prayer, but a persistent sort of interaction with God through the highways and byways of life. And at the core of it is this communication we have back and forth with God, which literally, according to Scripture, can move mountains, right? Even Jesus said that. You could say to this mountain, move. It'll be moved. You have faith, the grain of a mustard seed. There you go. Faith, what's that mean, mustard seed? And how do you speak to a mountain, right? And all of that, right? So those dynamics that are involved there are fascinating. And for me, I'm sort of a biblical entrepreneur. I like to take all the promises and apply them in every way I can and try them out for my life. And that takes faith, you know, to do that. But once you get a few under your belt, you don't easily forget what happened to you. And that's why you have testimonies, things that you remember, so that you can apply it to the next trouble you get into, right? So let's read from Colossians chapter 4, starting verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. That's interesting. Just not a little bit, but devote. It's a strong word. Being watchful and thankful. So thankful in your prayers. There's an attitude. There's sort of like a communication with the person. When a snotty-nosed kid comes to his mom and demands things, not all the grace in the world is there for her, right, to answer. Everybody knows that. Dads, too. Being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Now, this is the great Apostle Paul who's been called to this, but he feels vulnerable enough in that calling that it's not just an overwhelming thing that just happens by accident, but it happens as a result of not only his obedience, but the prayers of God's saints. And that's the same with our lives. Pray for which I am in chains, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. And the interesting thing about opportunity there is not just the opportunity to share the gospel with them, but the opportunity to maybe enter into a prayer covenant with them. And a lot of people I've been able to help in the Lord when they didn't know the Lord very well, and I just agreed to pray for them. And they thought, well, that was more like saying, well, God bless you. I'm really, you know, I hope you do well. Now, when I pray for them, I pray for them, and I watch for them, and I ask about how they're doing. And then when we get to the other side of it, I've kind of helped them, and we've become friends through that because of the progress, because prayers sometimes unfold quickly, but many times they unfold, kind of slowly and sometimes in between. And it's like God, through every prayer that we pray, is actually opening doors for opportunity, but divine opportunity for the specific thing you're praying. But it's been my experience that as we learn to pray and we continue to pray, especially even in our downest moments, God takes us on a journey and he actually gives you more than you ask for, which is really, really interesting. So if you know that, then you're not going to get puzzled by all the other stuff that start coming toward you when you're praying for the one thing. Because often he'll do more than that. He'll do more and he'll actually give you also what you didn't pray for, but what you meant, which is really nice. Right? Could he be that good? Yep, he could be that good. In verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So the ways that we talk to God, again, seasoned with salts, with meaning, with flavor, with faith, and the things that go with answered prayer. And so God just really likes us to pray in faith. Like he puts us in those places continually. And it's through these prayers that open divine opportunity and blessing that we learn about God, that we actually get discipled. So we're not just talking about a narrow part of our life. Prayer is the core of our life, because as we interact with God over the troubles and trials, we learn something new about God along the way. And also we learn something new about what we can access in God, right? Which is pretty exciting, actually. So as we look through the scriptures, we just see over and over again these admonitions, like 1 Timothy 2, I urge then first of all that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So that's the first thing. He says, first of all, he puts it at the front. And then he gives a number of different kinds of prayers. Petitions, prayers, most of those are self-explanatory. Intercessions, a little deeper kind of prayer where we actually are maybe praying for someone else, and we've kind of got, I call it getting hooked by God. God's hooking us into something. You know, you just can't help pray for them. You know, there's a burden on you and also for yourself. But notice this, and this is very irrelevant. I mean, extremely relevant for our time. And sometimes our biggest reasons why we don't pray for divine opportunity and blessing is we just don't know how powerful we really are, right? So this current time when the world's on fire and Israel is experiencing what they are right now, and the world's experiencing that now because of the the fight with Iran. So the whole world we know could be engulfed in some very serious stuff. So what's going to keep that from happening? Well, God Almighty. But how has God choose to do that? Through the prayers of the saints. So our prayers for Israel, our prayers for the body of Christ, our prayers for Iranians, people that don't know God. So there's lots of opportunity here, often in trouble and trial. Guess what? We see some of the greatest blessings come forth. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all peoples. That include Jews and Iranians. That include the innocent and the guilty. That include leaders. And actually, that's a really big part of this as well, because the next line says, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So if the kings in authority do a good job, then we got a chance at living peaceful and quiet lives. If they don't do a good job, if they're off, if they're in some kind of other immorality or perhaps idolatry or other religion, then as we can see today, there's going to be some big problems. So how many would we pray for then are in authority? Just the ones we like? No, I'd say especially maybe the ones we don't like, that God would turn them, unless, you know, we don't have a proper view of the whole thing. But so this is a time, and it should always be the time. We're not just in danger right now. The world's not just in danger of flaming out now because of this latest tussle. It's always in that space. And it seems with every year that goes by, the world gets more and more restless. You know, plagues and all kinds of things, COVID thing that happened and all these things. So our part in that, if prayer wasn't real, then and this is like a silly poem or a silly thing, exercise, right? But if what we're saying here is God expects it and thinks it'll make a difference, then if we don't do this, we're kind of silly. So we look for all kinds of answers. We look for our favorite politician. We look for, you know, the favorite party and everything. But really, the body of Christ, our first duty is to appeal to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people in every land, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So when they don't act nice, we don't get peaceful and quiet lives, do we? This is why a bunch of you were glued to your television set yesterday, right? This is good and pleases God our Savior. So when we do that, it pleases God, because maybe unlike us, he actually believes in our prayers. Our prayers make a difference to him. And so when we do that, if you want to know what is good and pleases God, then do this. Pray for all those that are in authority, right? And this peaceful and quiet lives we can see before us, how much lack of peace can happen, you know. And this thing that's boiling in the Middle East could easily boil over to a theater near you. And we all know it. So now is a time that all Christians should be praying. And that's why we're the salt of the earth. Our prayers make a difference. Not just the prayers of the people in Israel, and not just the prayers of the believers in Iran, which there are a number, but the believers all over the world, right? And the purpose is that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, he says, and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth, of the truth. And so this is God's goal. This is what he wants to happen. And we actually have a part in it. And I know it feels like, wow, how could I have a part in it? But your prayers make a difference. Why does that happen? Because God said so. He opened the door. He included you in this great adventure. So you can either choose to get in or get out. I think probably for the benefit of everybody, it might be good to get in, right? Because he wants all people to be saved. He wants Iranians to be saved. How can Iranians be saved with all this that's going on? How can they be saved if they end up under a pile of rubble? You see what I'm saying? For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. So this is a really big deal that we pray for kings and all authority, and we're mindful of that especially these days. And likewise, Jesus told us about ourselves. He gave us some hints about prayer that help us to understand how to open divine opportunity and blessing. And I don't know why, but it's just part of maybe the gifting God gave me or whatever. But I actually learned this, what I'm about to read to you. I learned this as a child. And so from the time I was little, you know, I don't know what it was. I just had a voracious appetite for stuff, you know. I wanted this, I wanted that, I wanted to be this, I wanted to be champion of that, whatever it was, you know. So I was praying continually. I thought this was one of the best deals. And you know how I learned it? My first grade teacher taught me to pray. And one of the first questions I asked her is, I said, you know what, could I pray for anything and get it? She said, yes, as long as it's good and it's not evil. Yeah, anything you pray. I said, now, let me get this straight. If I pray to God and I ask for stuff, then I can get it, right? And she said, yeah, that's why I'm teaching you this. I remember it like it was yesterday. So I thought, hot dog, man, this is amazing. So I started praying for stuff, and I started getting stuff. And I wouldn't get it all the time and exactly the way, so I actually began to learn how this works sometimes. And then I thank God sometimes that I didn't get some of the stuff I prayed for. And I just started walking with God, and it was largely through her tutelage, because she would teach us, you know. And I remember bowing my head with her and praying, you know, in our little Sunday school class. And I'll never forget it. It was just an impartation. And so when we began to look into this whole thing, you look on 1B there, that Jesus taught us that we should always pray and not give up. So those two statements are pretty powerful. He told them a parable to show them they should always pray in every circumstance and not give up. And that's a really key word, because persistence is a very big part of this, very big part of it. And this is one thing I learned as a child. So I was kind of persistent by nature, especially if I wanted something. So, man, I'd pray every day, all the time. You know, I wanted to be the most valuable player of the fifth grade football team. So I started early. Like when the season came around in July, I would actually pray that all the way through the end, and then I'd become the most valuable player. I did that over and over again. And I thought to myself, hot dog, man, this is really good. This is really good. And God baited me. He let that happen so that I would learn, right? And then it didn't always happen, you know? But the first few times, it was pretty good, so I got a taste of that in my mouth, right? I really like this. And then I learned about prayer that some things take time, and I learned to do that persistently. So this is it here. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me." And this is some vicious prayer, evidently. And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry to him day and night?" So he's not the one that's playing hard to get. He's not like that other guy. But even the wicked judge moves by somebody crying out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see if they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So it turns out that this persistence in prayer is this faith, and that's what makes the world go around in the supernatural and God's economy of things, along with love and compassion and all of the things that are in God, but faith is a big deal, right? And so it brings justice. And I think in this world, we need justice. And if all the world, the holy nation around the earth prays for justice, we'll get justice. We'll get it in the Middle East, and we'll get it in our own country, and we'll get it in our own government, and our own neighborhood, and our own family, right? All right? It's okay. You can clap. It's okay. I like that. All right. Because if you really believe what I'm saying, this is really good news, right? Our struggles are ultimately against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, which is really hard to get a hold of sometimes if you don't have any theology for demons or supernatural activity. Now, we in the Vineyard, in a lot of churches, really believe in supernatural activity. We believe that whatever happened in the early church happens today, can happen today. And we pray for people, and we pray for the intent. We pray for them to be healed. We pray for them to be delivered. We're really big on that, right? But we find that in our prayer life, we're not only dealing with circumstances, but we're also dealing with spiritual evil. And evil in places where you can only address in the name of Jesus on that spiritual plane those forces. They don't go away without some sort of binding and loosing. And God designed the universe like that. I don't know why he designed it that way, but he put us on earth to be rulers and to be able to govern the earth. And so the enemy has tried to corrupt that. But our prayer life to the Lord helps us shape all of that, which is incredible, isn't it? That's an incredible privilege. And so if we look at Ephesians 6:12, we realize that our life struggle and our prayer struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So this thing with Iran, we're dealing not only with Iran, but we're dealing with the spiritual forces of evil, the actual demons over those countries that are trying to tip the world into one big flame of war and disaster, right? But our struggle is not against for even our own individual lives. And this is really important, because if you're going to deal on a spiritual plane, one of the key things is learning to pray in the name of Jesus. And actually, it should be our habit, because your struggles, your pains, everything from what you do at your office, your jobs, the provision you get, things you're fighting for in your family, kids, it's not against flesh and blood. So you have to go about it a different way. Now, all across the earth, you might not know this, but much of the earth has a supernatural worldview, meaning they really believe in supernatural things. They believe in demons and demonic things, and they don't know much about Jesus or the positive side. They just believe in the demonic things. So they understand this struggle very, very well, and they actually sacrifice to these demons and have idols toward them and actually serve them to get favor from them. But the demons always end up enslaving you. You might get a little favor, but whatever favor they give you, they actually enslave you with the favor. And the whole, you know, millions and millions, multiplied millions of people are living like this. They have a spiritual worldview. They know good and well there are spirits. Those idols that they put up have spiritual meaning to them. They believe there are demons, actual demonic entities behind them, which here in our culture, we think that is superstition and craziness. How could that be? You know, that's silly, you know. The problem is, that we both suffer. When you have a secular worldview, you don't understand the world around you properly. And if you're in another country, you understand that there are some demonic and spiritual forces, but you don't know how to control them. You think by just giving a little food, that's enough. But actually what that does is it deepens and entice people to give worship to them, give whether it's sacrifice or whether it's a money some kind of food offering. And they make it so that basically you're following these demons, and they have great superstition and tremendous fear in these cultures. So when they come to know Jesus, one thing it leaves them is, whew, what a relief. I don't have to let my life be led by this demonic thing. And actually, and their demonic things in these cultures are, if you've ever seen the paintings of them and the statues, I mean, they view these forces as very evil. So they spend most of their life trying to assuage evil. So when the gospel comes and you tell them, hey, there's someone that controls evil, has authority over all evil, it's a good deal for them. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And it turns out in the heavenly realms, just like in an army, there are realms. There are generals and colonels and captains. There are all levels of powerful demonic forces, each who submit one to the other. And our prayers make the difference in this disrupting that network. And so the scripture also says our adversary is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So that's why people who do seances and get involved with things they don't know much about and get involved with demonic things, they don't know that the ultimate purpose is to hook them and to devour them and to get them to the dark side, because the thief, which is the devil, comes only to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. So, or he's like a roaring lion wants to ruin somebody's life. But what about the roaring lion of Judah? That would be Jesus, who's looking for someone to rescue. And John 10:10 says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. But then as we began to examine how this all works, we see that one of our pathways to receiving life and life abundantly, which is just the opposite, he says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it to the full, or have it abundantly. So here's your agenda, the enemy's agenda, to steal, kill, and destroy, and he uses supernatural power to do that. But God says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So when you learn to do business, which is not that hard, but has to do with faith and consistency as well. Even Christians, I notice, they believe for a while, they pray for a while, and if something doesn't go their way, they just forget and stop and basically just kind of get kicked around and endure it till that trial's over, which may last years, right? Instead of intervening. And it's hard for them to grasp that there's a malevolent force that's after them. It's hard for them to get a hold of that. And it also feels unfair that they would actually have to devote themselves to prayer. In other words, that's a stronger word. It means I have to fight sometimes. And sometimes what I'm praying for takes a while, right? Sometimes it takes a while. There are forces that are stronger than other forces. There's demonic ranks of all different kinds of authority. And there are situations that are worse than other situations. But devoting yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, is critical. Watchful of your environment, watchful of what's happening, and making sure you don't blame something on something that's rather not a part of the cycle, rather not a part of the thing. Sometimes the enemy just comes to knock your block off, just comes to take, steal, kill, and just openly. And if you're ignorant, sometimes you just go in openly and you blame everything in the world on it. Politics, this or that, whatever. Somebody bad made a bad decision, bad rulers. But actually what's happened is, if it happens to a theater near you, he's come to steal and kill and destroy. So the actual antidote to all that is learning to devote ourselves to prayer. So look at D. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It's interesting to thankful. I'll get to that in a minute. But watchful is another thing. I've kind of given some attention to that already. Watchful means to give strict attention, to be cautious, to be active. To be active, cautiously and active at the same time. And so we see there's a defense and there's an offense to this. So Matthew 26:40-45. So Jesus is about to be crucified. He's in the garden. And so he's praying in the garden. Now that's a very interesting thing. Why is he praying? Well, he knew what was going to happen. So why pray if you know what's going to happen? Well, maybe there was some choice involved here. Maybe there are things that were involved that he had to do that he had to obey. He had something. And so he knew what was going to happen, but he could have interrupted it or resisted it. But instead, he prayed and was watchful with the Lord because he wanted to fulfill what he was supposed to do on his end. Meanwhile, all the guys around him, not knowing the danger, are falling asleep, right? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, he knew what the Father wanted him to do, so he didn't want to cave in either. He knew what he was supposed to do, go through with this. And he was praying so he'd have enough strength to do that. Isn't that interesting? So prayer is a way that we are strong enough to do what we know is right and not to fail, right? Thank God he didn't fail for all of us sitting here, right? But he said to his disciples, watch and pray, you know, and they're falling asleep. So she'll not fall into temptation. In other words, you won't succumb in testing or temptation. You can translate that either way, testing or temptation. My Father, if it's possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. So he's still contending. Are you sure, Father, that I'm supposed to do this? Are you sure I'm supposed to go through with this? When he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy, so he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Now remember what he said earlier. He said, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Which brings us a certain part of corporateness to us. Honestly, I think there are situations in life that you cannot pray alone and get through. I think there are situations, if you want to get through them righteously and you want to get through them victoriously, it takes someone else to pray with you. That's why Jesus gave this specific instruction. If two of you agree about anything, it should be done for them, right? Why does he say two? And here's the most pathetic thing that happens to us. Sometimes husbands and wives, which would be two, and if anybody should be in agreement, is them, are so out of whack with one another that they actually don't have enough authority together to actually protect their own family, because a house divided against itself can't stand. And so the enemy comes to split the parents, you know, even while they're married, different opinion and everything, and he guts their prayer life so he can come and steal, kill, and destroy whatever he wants. So families... you know, if you're married today, sit next to your wife or your husband, that's one of the best resources for you to do well in this life. And yet we don't pay attention to that. If anybody should be in agreement, you would think it would be a husband and a wife, right? So when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. So it's very fascinating to me. He knows what he came for, but he's still praying. I think in his case, he's praying that he would have the endurance, the power, the courage to follow through with what he needed to do. But I would say for us, that's on both sides of the ledger. Power enough to do something positive and power enough to do some and resist something negative. Because sometimes we do things, and I'll tell you what, I've taken more than one risk in this life in various forms of ministry and various things that I've done, and praying all the way that I make it. Praying all the way that I did the right thing. And lots of times I've found that actually some of my greatest troubles are because I'm making it. I'm making it. It's just keep on praying till you get to the end, because you're facing some resistance because the enemy's come in to take your head off, which isn't a very soothing thought. But what is soothing is, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And so how do we resist that? Well, we pray. And if we have a couple of people to pray with us, if we agree in prayer, it's even better, right? Because actually, this is the open door for divine opportunity and blessing, is this thing we call prayer. And this open opportunity to be defended against when we're getting attacked. And the couple, the family that prays together literally does stay together. That's because there are demonic things that are coming that cannot be addressed in any other way except by prayer. Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer, right? And I think Jesus just wanted someone to, in his humanity, just to be with him and to strengthen him toward that choice. But instead, they're sleeping. He was making the biggest choice for the whole universe, for his heavenly Father, trying to choose God. And he's the Son of God. And he just wanted those guys to be with him. Now, if Jesus Christ needed somebody with him, what about us? You ever thought about that? He wasn't just saying that to prove that they were knuckleheads. Yeah, I knew it. No, he was in need. He needed support. He had a choice. This was not an automatic thing. He chose. And he wanted those guys to be with him to help him choose. Or who else was with him? Matthew 6, 9 and 10. This comes as part of the Lord's Prayer. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And now this is the positive side of this whole thing. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it talks about give us this day our daily bread, which I like that one. Forgive us our debts and so on. But this part about the kingdom, your kingdom come. So your authority come. Your authority, your good authority, your kind authority come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's something we get to pray. We get to pray, and the kingdom means your authority. So whatever is against God's authority, whatever runs counter to what we know as God's authority, and is actually in the realm of the flesh, the devil, we can declare God's authority, God's kingdom in it, right? Now there's this other aspect that I want to just highlight, and it looks there. Remember I said on point D there, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now we're going here, so I want to go back to the title. What we're talking about here is for our welfare. It's divine opportunity and blessing. The things that God's bringing to us have to be sought after sometimes with more than average prayer. There's an opportunity for us, but will only open as we go on this journey with God, praying it through till you get to that place. Some things aren't that hard. Some things open fairly quickly. So it all depends. But if you run into something difficult, then it's important that we pray for this opportunity and blessing. We open the door. We're God's co-workers in this whole process. We want him to do it all, or que sera, sera, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But God doesn't see that way, and the kingdom doesn't work like that. You're going to suffer a lot, needlessly, because sometimes the enemy comes knocking on the door, and all you have to do is say, get out of here. Sometimes it might take a little bit more than that. But there's also attitudes in prayer that are incredibly important, because this whole thing that we're doing isn't just a mechanical thing. It's not a thing that we're just, you know, doing to someone we don't know. This is an intimate thing. This is our Father in heaven. This is Jesus, the one who died for us. This is the Holy Spirit who cares for us dearly and the Father sends to help us. So there's a sort of protocol in prayer. And one of them is rejoicing and thankfulness. We're going to find that here in Philippians 4. In other words, our attitude, and anybody knows about a snotty-nosed kid that comes and when they're actually demanding things and the difference between what that does to your heart and someone that's coming, you know, a child that's coming with kind of the right attitude, you know, or a good attitude. Matter of fact, your heart just kind of opens to them, right? Now, Dad, don't forget that bike, you know. Don't forget. Yeah, could we go looking at it sometime, you know? And, yeah, sure. Okay, good. Well, let's do it. So when can we do that? Well, maybe Saturday. Okay. Then there's that other thing, right? Well, we know where it could go there from there, you know. Coming, demanding, asking, so on. So look at these words. Rejoice, Lord, always. I'll say it again, rejoice. This is Philippians 4, 6. I'm ahead of myself here. I want to go to 6. Well, that's good. No, I'm going to start in 4. That's good. Rejoice, Lord, always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Why wouldn't you rejoice? You've got access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. That's interesting. Your gentleness. The Lord's near, so be gentle. Be kind. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's that protocol I think I'm talking about. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So being thankful diminishes the size of obstacles in front of us. I've noticed that. When I'm in a difficult situation, I'm thanking God for this situation and thanking God for his power to get me out of this situation, thanking God for his victory. It takes the teeth out of the thing, right? Now, maybe not automatically, but at least it's the right direction to go according to the scriptures. Thanksgiving also helps us to rest even in the middle of a struggle. So actually, when we make a habit of thanksgiving in our life, giving thanks in lots of things, being grateful, it actually helps us with prayer. Actually, prayer follows thankfulness quite a lot. So when we're happy, we're thanking God for what he's done. Then God, but you know, you can then say, thank you, God, da-da-da, and I recognize this blessing in my life, and it actually gives you faith to pray like that, and then say, but this thing here, Lord, I just would like to address that today. In Jesus' name. And also, thankfulness keeps us alert and sensitized for divine opportunity and activity. So how can two walk together unless they be agreed, the scripture says. Is God afraid of anything? Is he mad at you all the time? Is he wanting to badger you and poke at you and, you know, and just drag you away to do stuff he doesn't want to do for the sake of his kingdom? No. Evidently, this whole lifestyle of Christianity is, I came with him, I have life, and have it abundantly. So thankfulness keeps us alert and sensitized for divine opportunity and activity. We could say it another way. God's a very good God, and he's good all the time. And you know, at first, it doesn't seem like he's being so good sometimes. But if you trust him and you believe for that, you'll receive the benefit of that attitude, because faith and thankfulness go together, and faith turns the hand of God. And also, turning the hand of God's not just that you struggle to get him to do something, but also in that place you can hear God. And sometimes you're praying the wrong way. Sometimes you're praying for something, but God has another idea, another thought. Why don't you pray like this? Because in this situation, this is what I'm really after, right? And if you unlock that one, that's going to unlock this one. So could it be that we communicate like that with God like that? Well, a thankfulness helps open our ears so we can actually hear while we're praying and actually have the right positive attitude going in, you know? I mean, we all know this with our children. Man, every parent, when they have a kid 5, 6 years old, they know that snotty nose thing, you know, man, oh man. And it just like, it's like nails on a chalkboard, you know. Here they are, you know. You know, we can hear that whine from way back in the back in the bedroom all the way forward. And it doesn't get any better when they're teenagers. They have their own way to whine, right? Right? And even beyond, right? So look at Roman numeral 2. Prayer opens doors for the message of Jesus to enter any person's world. And so people here today have are praying for people in our world and in other people's world. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. So he's asking, the great apostle Paul says, I'm dependent on your prayers that God will open a door for my message. I need you to help me. And your children need you to help them. And they need to help you and those closest to us, right? So opens the door for Jesus to enter all of our lives. We need to connect our prayers and with our witness and look for open doors. And this is really important, because when we're praying for people to be saved, we're hoping that that happens in our environment, you know. It's so important for us to not only witness to them and share with them at any time we get an opportunity, but it's also important that we learn to pray and to soften the ground, so to speak, right? And ask God for amazing things. So I'm just going to read out of 1 Corinthians 16:8. He says, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Now, that great door for effective thing, for effective service, sometimes these doors open, but it's important that we help pray people through opportunities. So we just had that happen in our church, didn't we, Eddie? Just had that happen. So Eddie went with fear and trembling, not fear, but I mean just apprehension, want to make sure he made it, did a good job. He had a tremendous, tremendous time in Europe. And many of us were praying, and God opened the door. He did it. And I think it was, from what I understand, it was effective service. And that prayer that came up, you know, were people that he knows from a long time, and they love him, and they want him to do well. But I thought you did a good job in enlisting everybody, because every time I was turning around, you were enlisting somebody to pray for you. Because he was speaking in Europe, and, you know, it's not easy to get there, and all the things he had to do and everything. He and Janet both. I heard her speaking as well. That was amazing. So now we're on to Africa, maybe, huh? Would you, huh? So we'll pray for you. Maybe we'll go with you. I don't know, but some of us will, maybe. Anyway, so look, also, I think it's really important to understand that that when we pray, we're actually looking to be equipped in the same way that Jesus was equipped in the disciples. And so Paul is in this school called the School of Tyrannus. Paul entered this synagogue and spoke boldly. for 3 months arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God, but some of them became obstinate and they refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took his disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. So I brought that in there because it's sort of important to understand that that we're praying for supernatural activity, real spiritual activity, for miracles and stuff, and that's part of our heritage. And so sometimes it's a little bit hard to pray for those things. And it's interesting, if you look at Paul, who's doing all these miracles and opening all this territory up, and if you look at the B there, the Epaphras story is our story. And guess what he says, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you. I thought that's an interesting statement because he was from Colossae and he was wrestling in prayer that they would do well. And I think that brings up a really important part. There's a wrestling to prayer, a persistence about it. The more you pray, the more you realize that you might not get an answer the first time, but you wrestle with it. You keep going. This is one of the greatest secrets of all. Don't give up. Whatever you do, do not give up. And have people with you. Because some things take a little bit of wrestling before they come, especially the higher their purpose and for other people. So if you just pray once and just it didn't work and you just give up, you forgot that actually we're supposed to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep pursuing, that often we're in wrestling matches. And so you may not have been a much wrestler, or you get the concept. There's a back and forth, back and forth. If you look at any boxing thing, you never know who exactly is going to win, right? That's part of the thrill of it. You always knew who would win, then nobody would be interested, right? But I think the angels are watching us back and forth, and there's this wrestling match that we have. Wrestling sometimes offends us. We don't like it. We don't like to wrestle. We just want it to go, boom, and it's done. So, Tom, you're wrestling right now. You're wrestling for your health. And so when you wrestle and you have that attitude and you keep on asking, keep on knocking, here's the good news. If you don't give up, you win. And if people around you don't give up on you, you doubly win. What I just said there is like, I know you a long time. I've known a lot of you, and I've been pastor a long time. I have run across very few people that wrestle with their situations, meaning they throw up a prayer, hope that it works, and then they just, like on a roller coaster, grab that front bar and just go for the ride, you know, assuming this is going to be a harrowing experience, right? Throw up a quick prayer like you would on a roller coaster, right? What I'm saying is, maybe you don't have to go on the roller coaster. Maybe you might go on one, but it's a little slower and deal with it, and you're not afraid, and you just go through this thing, and you wrestle it till it becomes yours, right? And the intensity dies, and you actually win, right? And wrestling's not a crime. Wrestling is not a sin. That doesn't mean God's not working, but wrestling may be required. So even as Paul's saying this, Epaphras, about this, he was with Paul in another city, and he says, you know your friend Epaphras that I took from your midst? You know what? He's praying for you all the time, but he used the word, he's always wrestling in prayer for you, which gives you a little idea of what sometimes prayer is. I don't think it's always that way. There are things that I pray for, and they happen. But there's other things that I pray for, and I get offended by the wrestling. I hope you don't get offended by the wrestling, because when you get offended by the wrestling, it's a very bad place to be, because actually a lot of life is like that. We wrestle for things until we get the result that we're looking for, and God's open to that. That's why he says to his disciples, look, I'm about to go through a really hard time. Pray that you will not enter temptation. What he meant with that, pray that you will pass the test when they come for me, that you'll pass the test and you won't be scattered, that you'll keep believing, that you'll keep trusting. You need to pray so you won't fall in the midst of when you need to be brave. And of course, he gave them a second chance. And they learned their lesson, but the prayer is right at the core of it, wasn't it? Wrestling in Colossians 4:12 means to struggle, like engaged in an intense athletic contest or war. And then there's these things that we pray. I love this Matthew 9:36-38. One of Jesus' greatest admonitions to us as the church, that would be all of us, is to pray. He says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to him, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray out the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. So he's actually saying that we need to pray for people to go out into various dark spaces and areas and pray for them. So like Carl here. Nice to see you, Carl. And he's wrestling for couples to be married and to do well in their marriage, and people recovering from things that didn't go so well, right? And part of that whole struggle is, you know, there's a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow in that. So he does these seminars and things for people. And one of the key things that he should be teaching them, if he doesn't, I'm sure he does, is listen, you may have to wrestle with this one. You need to wrestle it through till you get to the other side, but God's going to help you. He's for you, not against you. And by the way, that's probably one of the biggest things is because one of the biggest things with regard to prayer is we really haven't made up our mind that God's really for us. That's why we talk so much about the Father's love, because it goes directly into your prayer life. If you don't think that God's really that nice and that maybe, you know, you're putting up with it, you know, and kind of trying to do the thing, but in your heart, you don't really think he's a good God because you've got a long list this long of things that didn't turn out well, right? So it's very difficult to do supernatural change through prayer when you have that sort of thing, right? You got to go, hey, wait a minute. Every one of those on my list has a redemptive side. There's something that could be redeemed out of this. God's a good God. By the way, he's the one that said all things work together for my good, right? All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So that directly leads us to, if that's true, to praying even when bad things happen and turning them from negatives to positives, and at least hearing God's voice about what to do next, right? Which is a part of it. Praying makes it easier to make the most of every opportunity. And so Paul, Colossians 4, says this. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That's interesting. Watch. When you pray, watch what happens. And be thankful as you're going about it. Because you know what happens when you get bitter and angry? You go dumb and deaf and you become stupid. Really. When you give up on God like that, you just become stupid. I mean, you just get kicked around by every little wind, everything that happens. You make all the wrong choices, and you keep falling into the trap of the devil over and over and over again. One of the worst traps you could ever get into, which is the exact opposite of prayer, is bitterness. When you get in that space, oh my gosh. You know why it's so bad? Because you lose your prayer life. You lose your hope. You lose your contending. I don't understand why God made it this way all the time. It's just the way he made it. The way he made our walk with him. And he actually, as a person on the earth, walked the same way. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, it's very interesting. I mean, the great apostle Paul, what does he need all this for, you know? Isn't he like, you know, Superman? No, he felt vulnerable every time he went into a new ministry situation. And for him, them praying for them was incredibly important. And that should be the way we have it. And Eddie, again, you're a great model. You are enlisting everybody on site to pray for you. But that's normal. You've learned through the years. But in our own lives, it may not be a conference. It may be something else, a job interview or some other situation. Maybe you have to go to court for some reason. Or maybe there's a doctor's appointment. You know, other people watching for you is critical. And the ones that suffer the most from not praying are business people, because business people get so active and so on, you know, into their thing, especially if they're successful business people. Because the thief can steal and kill and destroy from you at any time, but if you're a successful person, a business person, and you're a Christian, you're like a big fat target, man. You're just ready for, you know. And I've seen so many fall. That's why I do my prayer meeting every week with business people, because I know they're especially vulnerable. You know when they're the most vulnerable? When they're successful, that's when they're the most vulnerable. That's when the enemy does his best thing, man. Because he lets them string them out. They do great. And then pretty soon they think they're Superman. Then all of a sudden, he trapped you, right? That's why no matter how successful you are or not successful, it's really important for us to pray and keep that a part of our business life and all of our life, right? So watching and thankfulness increase our expectancy and cause us to pray more clearly. Clarity not only comes with the words of the kingdom, but also the works of the kingdom, what we're supposed to do about something. Works mean praying for healing, asking God to do supernatural things, stepping in and taking steps of faith for supernatural activity. Making the most of opportunity, every opportunity is literally translated redeeming the time. Redeem is a marketplace word, meaning to buy up or buy out. Time has the sense of season, a suitable time, the right moment. Jesus paid for it all, but when you see the opportunity, See, prayer is like an entrepreneurial thing. When you see an opportunity, pray. Or you see something out there, reel it in. That's why I love to pray for business people. The reason why I like to pray for business people so much is we're talking about tangible things. You get the sale or you don't get the sale. You get the job or you don't get the job, right? And so actually I've found that prayer is so powerful with regard to business, because a lot of success in business has to do with not necessarily success in a point in time, but your endurance, your ability to be sustained and keep moving and not give up during the hard times so you can get to the better times, right? And prayer sustains us on the inside to do that when we lose our hope, when we lose our vision, right? And so Jesus paid for all of that. He has opportunity for us in all these things, right? Is your conversation full of grace and seasoned with salt? When I'm expecting supernatural things for my prayers, I'm listening for God but relaxed in my conversation and looking for signs of change. That's Colossians 4:6. He talks about as being full of grace and seasoned with salt. So this means when I'm expecting supernatural activity from a good God, I'm seasoned and I can expect great things. If I quit believing God's a good God or don't think I have the power to do it or the promises aren't clear for me, then I stop opening doors for a divine opportunity and blessing. And I just finished with this. I think one of the most puzzling things about prayer is that God puts so much authority and rests so much on us. I mean, like even I'm thinking about Jesus in the garden. Like, these guys are yo-yos. They proved it the whole time they're with him, right? I mean, always doing the wrong thing. And yet he's relying on them. These guys he's trained to help him, the Son of God, get through a bad stretch, and he's expecting them to be there for him. He needed them to be there for him. You need other people to be there for you, not the least of which is your own wife, your own husband. I found through my experiences that I think probably one of the greatest tragedies of all of couples and families is the husbands and wives don't pray together. Maybe it's because the relationship's strained. Maybe they don't have any faith. But if the Bible says where two or three agree about anything, it'll be done for you. So if a husband and a wife can agree about something, wow, what should be happening there? If anybody should be able to agree. So maybe there's more than one reason why sometimes couples don't do so well. Because God knows, or Satan knows, that when they get together in harmony and start agreeing about stuff, things start changing in the family. Things start changing all around. Their job, whatever. If every two people should agree with one another, it should be a husband and a wife, right? And that moves the furniture around in your life. It causes miracles. It causes change. When they're on the same page, especially when you have the same faith in prayer, then it's even better. Both of you expecting that if we gather together, here it is. And then the problem is, and this is the great joy of it, and this is one reason why I believe God created prayer, is because sometimes you guys are at odds with one another. And you know that actually when we pray together, there's going to be good things happen, but you're still mad. And so you know you've got to start changing something in the equation or it's not going to be good for you, right? Now this is when you know and you've had a lot of miracles. So you don't want to get on the wrong side of your wife or your husband because you're the most powerful prophetic person to pray with in your life. If you want to see things change, you two agree about it. Wow, if anything two or three should be agreeing, it should be them, right? So that's why it behooves you to get along with your husband and your wife and to see the possibilities for your family when you two are on the right page. Now, if you're not married, there's good friends. Good friends are some of the best ones. Ones that are Christian friends are some of the best ones to pray with you. Don't lose that resource. If two or three agree about anything, just don't lose that resource. They're your friend. Get them to pray for you. Get to pray, intercede for you. And both of you watch and expect. And I'll just finish with this. Also, one thing about this that's really important is prayer is a journey, not a point in time. Prayer is a journey. God purposely has you praying about things because he's taking you on a journey. And guess where he's taking you on the journey to? Well, he's taking you on two things. One is to maturity, which is kind of boring when you think about it, right? But he has that agenda, right? And it's always going to be there. He wants you to grow up. But the second thing is he wants you to do well. very well. So if he wants you to do very, very well, then if you agree, and the one you should be agreeing on most with is your wife or a good friend, then you actually get a lot of joy out of this thing. And some of us have what we call, they will call prayer partners. Men very rarely do this because they're dumber than women in that area. I said in that area. I don't want to make that unequivocal. But women actually have a sensitivity to prayer more than men do. I don't know why. All that's why that is. There's just a wisdom in it. And so when they pray together, you know, I have to struggle to get men to pray together because they're just dumb. Because they don't see the opportunity. See, it says, opening the doors for divine opportunity and blessing. So this thing right there, that title, see, that's what you get. And if you get together a couple of guys and agree in prayer, it can happen. But if you don't believe that, you're just dumb. But women actually have it like much more aware of this. And it makes me mad sometimes because I have to lurk around in their prayer meetings and watch them get jealous, you know. And I'm thinking, man, they're really going after it. I wish the guys were a little sharper because they could do so much. Oh, and you think you have to be Superman or it's going to be super conference or some super duper deal. No. Hey, let's pray over this. God, please fix this. Amen. I agree. Okay, you did it. Don't have to be super duper, have the right words, be eloquent, blah, blah, blah. How about, God, I'm in trouble. Please have mercy on me. We agree. Have mercy on him. He's a mess. It's okay. It's good. It works. It's all right. Women, I think, are able to be weaker with one another and more vulnerable and honest so that they can agree and really grab a hold of that thing, that person praying, and move forward with it. I admire that so much. And men are a little slower, but when they do it, and if you do as a couple, dynamic duo time. Whoa. Good things happen. Lord, I want to ask you today. Let's all stand. I want to ask you today that you would form amazing friendships and bonds of prayer in our church, all through it. And for those that maybe don't have a friend or someone they can pray with, I pray, God, you would make a divine appointment for them. Have a friend or a sister or someone that sticks close to their brother or sister that they can just agree in prayer and ask God for things. And so you can join our business prayer meeting, larger prayer meetings that we have around church or other kind of prayer meetings when you hear one, maybe. But I think like one thing we've proved is that, man, I'll tell you what, prayer moves so many mountains. And every guy in this room, you know, that's working now has unusual need for breakthrough. Lots of times their businesses, and so nice if they take advantage of that. They're not so lonely. And what I like to do is this. I think in honor of this prayer, time that I'm just sharing here, I just think I set you up. Because what I did was I talked about this and faith rose a little bit in the room. I don't know how much. But it rose in the room just by talking about these things because it's Scripture and Scripture has a harvest to it. And I was just wondering today if there are some of you that would like to come up and just pray over a certain issue and just leave your deposit here at the altar. And if I could have some people to pray with us, you could pray alone if you like. Maybe some of you people that pray with, you know, on our church and our ministry team could come up. And let's just make this a little house of prayer for a while, unless nobody has any needs. Which is always remarkable to me how long a person can go with a gaping hole in their gut over some financial issue or something. And just learn and walk out of church and just say, okay, I'll just endure that for another day or two or three or four or five. Some of you are in endurance place. You're just enduring your problem. When actually you could probably get rid of it, right? You could probably get rid of it just by asking. So if nobody prays with you up here, just pray. I just encourage you to take this moment and say, you know, I'm going to pray about that thing and just mark it on your calendar. On this date, I went to the front of the church and I briefly was there and I just agreed in prayer with someone, or I just prayed myself and asked God to move the heavens about this particular issue. Because by me speaking to you, I'm setting up this. I'm setting this divine up, this appointment up. Some of you have this right away. You need a husband. You need a wife. You need a breakthrough in your business. You need a job. You need healing in your body, right? But I've just been talking about this, so what better time to come and try it out? Just take 5 minutes, take 2 minutes. How long does it take you to say it? But you remember it better if you kind of do something in faith, where you just come to the front and you ask God to do something for you, all right? So we'll just have a little worship here, and we'll spend the next 10 minutes for anybody who would like to come. The rest of you can be dismissed if you like. But before you go, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, over this place. I pray that the spirit of prayer would consume you. I pray the spirit of prayer by the Holy Spirit would come on you. I pray you would be so encouraged that you wouldn't stop praying until you get to the end, until you get the answer. That God would speak to you, that God would talk to you, that God would make you fierce in pursuing his will and his counsel. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we even get reports, even from what we said today, of miracles. Miracle marriages healed, miracles in our finances, miracle in our children's lives, miracles in our health. It's all being offered here in this moment just for you in prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Come forward and pray with us. Pray from your seat, whatever you like. We're going to be here and worship a little bit. And use this time to do some business with the Lord.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.